Applewood family, those of you who are guests with us this morning, we are glad that you're here to celebrate, to worship on this first Sunday of Advent. And let's be honest, the largest part of the army over here on this side of the congregation is here for a special event. If you ever had any illusion that this Mazzoni family and in-laws is small, well, just take a look, because here they are. Not all are, but many are. So, recognize this little fella? Yeah. Vincenzo, known by most of us as Vinny. Come on up, Mom and Dad. He is a cousin. He's an important cousin. Would you like to bring your other two as well? You want to come up? Be with Mom and Dad? Little brother? All right, here we go. Good. Good. And Carmela, come up and join us. They grow quickly. Well, needless to say, my dear friends, today we are rejoicing. Rejoicing in God's gift of new life, the wonder of creation that is manifested in the birth and the growth of a child, and the gracious promises that are given to us from God as His people for our children. Yvette was concerned that too many months had gone by. There is nothing magic in any of this at any time. What this is full of, my dear friend, is lots of faith, lots of trust, and lots of hope, and belief that God will be true to His promises for our lives and for the lives of our children. That is what we count on. As you know, Mary and Joseph brought baby Jesus to the temple to present Him to the Lord, and Jesus Himself put children in a place of singular importance, calling us not only to receive them in His name, but also to learn from them. Jesus said, "Let the children come to Me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." And then He took the children in His arms, all ages of children, and He blessed them, laying His hands upon them. So Josh and Yvette and big sister Francesca and big brother Arezzo, in bringing Vincenzo to God's house today, you are acknowledging that he is numbered among those whom Jesus called the little ones who will believe in Me. You're also consecrating yourselves to God, promising to do everything that can to encourage him to become a true disciple of Christ. And I know that that is near and dear to both of your hearts. So let me ask you, in the presence of your family and brothers and sisters in Christ, will you, by God's help, provide a Christian home for Vincenzo and bring him up in the worship and teaching of the church, that he may come to know Christ as his Savior and follow Him as Lord? If so, answer, we will. I was really hoping you would say that. And Applewood family and others who are present this morning, will you be faithful to your calling, those of you who are members of the body of Christ, to those of you who are friends and family to this dear couple, will you be faithful to that calling so that Vinny and his brother and sister and all of the other children that God has blessed us with, that they may grow up into a greater knowledge and love for God? If so, and I want you to answer this at a level that these two will never forget hearing it on this morning, if that is your intention, will you answer, we will?
We will!
This is pretty good. I think they meant that. So, Vinny, is there any possibility that you'd like to go for a little stroll with me? What do you think? I promise not to tickle. Come see me for just a little bit?
Oh, you're fine.
You can stay with Dad if you want. Did you see your picture up there? Okay. You stay with Daddy.
We'll walk with him.
Well, let's just stay here for just a moment because, Vinny, I want to talk to you for just a moment about your name, Vincenzo. That means, it's an old Latin word, probably knew that, prevailer or conqueror. And did you know that your middle name, Stephen, that's a Greek word, its origin means, I just went blank. What does that origin mean? Leader, crown. There we go. So, my prayer for you, dear little friend, is that God will bless you all the days of your life with a spirit that conquers fear and doubt and worldly concerns and all the things that plague us in our humanity. May you wear proudly the crown of faith that the Lord Jesus will place upon you when you one day give your life and your heart to Him. And may you be an example all the days of your life of what it means to be a devoted follower of Jesus. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So Josh, just take a stroll down the center of the aisle there, as I would do if he'd let me take him. Brothers and sisters, you've made promises this morning, and Vinny is going to hold you to them. May he know what it means to be a follower of Jesus when he looks at your life and sees the character and the model that you present of what it means to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Vinny, can we sing a song? Everybody knows it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. And my dear friends, may you know the presence and the strength and the love of our God as you seek to faithfully raise these precious gifts for His glory. Amen.
Amen.
And here, just a little reminder. Bless you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, kiddos, it's time to go downstairs. Adults, you are not allowed to leave. You have to stay.
No.
Oh, that was fun. Well, let me add my word of welcome to you, to the Advent season. If you've been in the church tradition for a number of years, you are probably quite familiar with the Advent season. It is a season on the historic church calendar, as Janine referred to this morning, that is just rich in meaning and wonder. We are now in a season of waiting and anticipation, or the coming, or looking for the arrival. That's the meaning of the Latin word Adventus. We're looking and waiting for the arrival of our Savior, the Messiah, the Anointed One of God. And it can be a place in the season of sacred mystery. There's a juxtaposition, if you will, between the now and the not yet. We are living with the reality of Jesus as risen and conquering Lord. And we are looking ahead to His second advent when He will come and He will take rule of His earth, His world. But we are also in the present looking back to the first advent when He first appeared in the world, in humanity, breaking into human history in a way that is so counterintuitive that hopefully even though the story is so familiar to us in this Advent season, it will leave us in awe once again That's some of the meaning of the Advent season that is attached to the historic church calendar. Now, let me tell you what I think it means on the calendars in most of our homes, if I might. It can be something quite different, also causing a whole lot of awe and wonder, that Christmas is only 28 days away. And for some of you, that makes your heart palpitate. For the kids, they can't wait. For the adults who are responsible for making Christmas meaningful for those children, oh boy, how am I going to get it all done? You are in awe and wonder as well. That so much needs to be done in such a short time. So, this week I discovered a website that is going to give you some help if you are interested. It is called Uncommon Goods, and they aren't kidding. Have you been there, Sini? Yes! You might find some help with gifts, especially for those people in your life that are so difficult to find gifts for. You know, just what do I get them? So, some examples. This is important in our house. What do you do with the other half of the avocado? You know, you slice the avocado, you leave the pit in the one half. That's supposed to help keep it from turning brown. That does not work. So, you buy avocado huggers. Keep the other half fresh and intact with this form-fitting silicone cup. These huggers ensure that you're prepared to preserve your favorite fresh fruit, and the convenient pit pocket can be pushed in and out for the tightest possible seal. Those are available, too, for $12 from Uncommon Goods. Or you might be interested in Yoga Joes. Now, this troop's little mission is to help you keep your inner peace. Very good topic on today's Sunday. The designer looked to a favorite childhood toy, G.I. Joes, of course, to help inspire grown-ups to get into yoga. Armed with a general knowledge of the practice, this platoon of posing servicemen show off their secret weapon, major strength and flexibility. Give the battalion to the disciplined yogi or well-balanced lieutenant in your life. These are all packaged in a mini yoga studio box with a bamboo floor. All of this for only $25. There are also, I'm not done yet, literary scarves. Literary scarves get all wrapped up in a classic story. These infinity scarves are the perfect way for you to show off some literary love in any weather. Each circular scarf is silk screened with passages from some of the world's great books, letting you cheer on Jane Eyre, go through the ups and downs of romance with Sense and Sensibilities. Perhaps you'd like to tumble down the rabbit hole with Alice. All for only $48. And this is for the dog lovers out there, and I know you are there. You can get dog breed socks. These cozy socks are a humble tribute to your favorite pedigree, featuring a detailed graphic and name of the breed. You'll let it be known just how much you adore your pooch. For $12. I think they have them for cats too, but don't waste your money. So what do you think? You pretty impressed? Uncommon Goods, shopper's paradise. Or maybe the dumbest thing you've heard yet in this very new Advent season. What about another idea? I want to spend our Advent Sundays talking about what I think are far more important and meaningful gifts. And in this season of what can feel like a marketing, shopping, nightmare, frenzy, there are actually gifts that we already have as the people of God that desperately need to be given to others in this world. As followers of Jesus Christ, the one this Advent season is all about, we have been given gifts from God that we must share with others. And what's so wonderful about these gifts is that when we give them away, we don't lose them. God gives us more. His intention is that they flow in and out of our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. They are an unlimited supply from Him, and they don't have to be wrapped. The heck of a deal. They come pre-wrapped, looking a lot like you and me. Gifts from God to be given away in the Advent season to, I think, people in the world who are desperately looking for a lot more of these things. Can we put those gifts up, Bob? P peace, hope, joy, love. Now, you're all thinking, wait a minute. Those look a lot like the traditional Advent themes that we look at every year about this time. You guys are way too sharp. Not slipping anything past you. But I was thinking and praying a bit about our Advent series this year. The idea just came to me that these themes that we celebrate, traditional themes of the Christian church and the Advent season, they really are truly gifts from God because we do not earn them in any way. But when we enter into a relationship with God through faith in His Son, Jesus, God gives them generously. And like everything else, I mentioned a moment ago, God gives them to His people not for the intention that we would cling to them, hold on to them, hoard our gifts, but to share, to give them away, not to cling to what He has given, because there is no end to their source in our lives. How many of us know the words, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son"? The miracle of our God, and I hope it's a miracle that we will come to grips with again and again in this season. The miracle of our God is that He is a self-giving, self-sacrificing God. Go ahead and crack open the history books and look through history and find any God anywhere at any time in any culture that is a self-giving, self-sacrificing God because He loves those who are His. Go looking. You will not find that God. The mystery of our God, the wonder of our God, is that He is self-giving, that He loves. Peace, hope, and love are all longed for by human beings and can be experienced to a lesser degree in life. But the deepest and most satisfying experience of those gifts can only be found in the One who defines them. God gives love because He is love. God brings and gives hope because He is hope. He gives peace because God is a God of shalom, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. God is a God in whom the gifts originate. Peace, hope, joy, and love given to us through faith in His Son so that we might share them with others. This morning we consider the gift of peace. Thanks to the Zwicklins for their reading and lighting of our candle in a world that is so desperately longing for peace. This is a gift that is so, so needed. And the sacrifice of Jesus is essential for us to clearly understand the nature of God's gift. So this morning we're going to look at just two short texts together. They're not traditional Advent texts. I hope that that's okay. But they are overflowing with Advent themes. So we're going to look at Romans chapter 5. And read just a few verses from there. And then chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. So, Romans. Those of you who are new with us, we have looked at Romans a little bit in the last few Sundays because we have been exploring the possibilities for our new mission statement as a congregation. But when Paul wrote to the Romans, he was making a case for what is often referred to as the righteous judgment of God. You know, why does God judge people? Because people, quite frankly, were created for God. They were created by Him and for Him. And what Scripture teaches us is that humanity made this collective choice, one by one, but it is collective in the end, that life is better without the Creator. That life can be found in anything besides the Creator. And Paul's point in Romans, especially the first 4, 5, 6 chapters, is to make the case that all of humanity is without excuse before God. Doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile or something else. although Jew and Gentile were pretty much the two categories of humanity in that day, it doesn't matter. Paul's point is, no one has an excuse before God. And then he goes on to make the case that a person is only saved by the kindness and the grace of God. So let's stand together, can we? And let's read from Romans, a few verses, and then we'll jump to Colossians. Read these words with me, please. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I hope that you hear in that text great promise for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ as the solution to humanity's separation from the God by whom they were created and for whom they were created. So let's look at Colossians now and see what Paul has written to the Colossians. Here we go. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. My friends, this is the word of God for us this morning. Go ahead, you can sit back down. Paul is encouraging the believers in Colossae in this last portion that we read to live lives that are worthy and pleasing of the one who rescued them. He says in chapter 1 that God rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us, moved us into the kingdom of the Son whom he loves. And then he goes on to declare the supremacy of Jesus. And then just leads right into what we've just read. Therefore, as a result of who Jesus is and what God has done through him, we have the opportunity to live new life. So, Bob, can we put that next slide up? And it's got a question with it. I just want you to talk with someone nearby about this for just a minute or two. Through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's our word, peace. There's our Advent theme, our gift from God through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, ask your neighbor, what does it mean to have peace with God? See what they think. Just take a couple minutes. All right, all you theologians. What do you think? What does it mean to have peace with God? Ah, yeah. Without Christ, we would be enemies of God. Without the work that he has done on our behalf. We don't have to be afraid or concerned about our future. Okay. I wonder if maybe the future begins right now. Do you think? Boy, that's what confronts me often. You know, the fear of the unknown, the fear of what happens in this situation or what happens if this goes on. Yeah, so boy, it is. It's freedom from fear. Sometimes maybe the fear that we experience living in a fallen world for a lot of different reasons is more palpable than we want to admit. Did I see another hand over in here? I know that this probably seems like theology 101 for many of us. This is truth that we know, those of us who've grown up in the church or those of us who have been following after Christ for some time in our lives, we understand. But what I want you to think of in terms of an answer to this question is simply One word, relationship. Relationship. C.S. Lewis, during World War II, when literally life in Europe and the UK was a living hell under the bombing of the German forces, Lewis wrote these words in that time. He said, Jesus did not come just to provide on occasion to sing carols, drink toasts, feast, and exchange gifts. He says, but we are right to do these things. Even as soldiers are dying and families are grieving, because he came. And in his coming, he brought joy and peace. The joy that overcomes our sorrows and the only kind of peace that ultimately matters. It's the peace of which the end of all wars, terrible as they are, is merely a token. It's the peace that means the long war between the human heart and its maker is over. It's a peace treaty offered in Bethlehem and signed in blood on Calvary. Throughout this Advent season, we will hear the words of the angel choir recorded in Luke. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. I don't want to be a party pooper in this Advent season, but when we sing peace on earth, we're missing the point. That is not the promise, nor is that the purpose of the coming of Jesus. Who doesn't want peace on earth? It hasn't happened since earth began. So what's the promise? On earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests. What kind of peace are they praising God for, those angels? Those angels who know something more than humans know at that point? It's the same peace that Paul has written about to the Romans and the Colossians. It is shalom. It is the Hebrew concept of peace, which is always grounded in the presence and the character of God. And it's personal. It's very personal. It is life transforming. It is a greater peace of right standing with God, the one who is our Creator. No matter the circumstances that are going on in the life of a child of God, shalom doesn't change. And we are given the gift of peace with God so that we can live out that peace in a world that does not know much peace. And on behalf of those who need to live into and experience the peace that God's people have received. We must read the announcement of peace to those on whom God's favor rests through the ears and the eyes of the Hebrew writers of Scripture. God's presence, God's shalom in the midst of brokenness. Jesus did not come to save humanity from war, from conflict, from sickness, from famine, from economic collapse, from terrorism, nor anything else that causes pain and suffering and fear in our broken world. Jesus came to offer people living in the broken world an opportunity to have a broken relationship with God restored. And that results in shalom. Partner with God, and suddenly you have an inner resource that allows you the strength to face all that is unsettling in life. It is well with my soul, we sang this morning. It is well with my soul, sings the child of God. And here's the point of this morning. Those who are the recipients of so great a peace, shalom, should live in relationship with others in such a way that they experience shalom through us. Let me say it again. We are the recipients of so great a gift of peace. And it is. It's a gift of peace. And we read, both in Colossians and Romans, that this is what God gives as a result of those who have put their faith in Jesus, His Son. So those who are such great recipients of this gift of peace should live in relationship with others in such a way that they experience shalom through us. Now, we don't actually give them shalom. That's God's job. But I believe we can live in such a way toward others that they experience shalom through us and that they are touched by shalom in which we live. Does that make sense? Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." Now, he's not using reward language there, you know? Live for peace. Create a little peace between you and your neighbor, those who are at odds, and you'll be bestowed this title of child of God. No. The language is one of personal identification. The language that Jesus is using says, those who know me, those who through faith in the Son of God have put their trust in Him for salvation and deliverance and righteousness and life in the midst of a broken world, they then will begin to live as if all of that is true. And those who see them will say, wow, that's a different kind of a response than I've seen before. What's up with that? Child of God. The children of God will identify themselves as those who live in shalom and long for peace in relationships with others and do everything they can. Paul told the Romans in chapter 10, do everything that is within your ability to live at peace with everyone. And he said that in a world that was just as broken and as much of a mess as our world seems to be when we look around. Those who make for peace will demonstrate that they are children of God. Bob, can we put that fifth slide up? Paul wrote to the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, the shalom of God, the assuring, strengthening presence of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Listen to the invitation in those words. Present your requests, your concerns, your needs to God, the one who is your Father, the one who has done everything necessary for us, those who are followers of Jesus, to live in relationship with God. That is an invitation. Bring to Him your concerns. Bring to Him your troubles. Bring to Him your fears and your worries. It's interesting, Paul uses a Greek word there that we translate gentleness for gentle spirit. Carries a sense of one who is patient and mild and equitable in relationships with others. This is a promise, brothers and sisters. Promise of God that every one of His kids needs to stand upon as they live out shalom toward others. Because here's the truth. Seeking to be a peacemaker with those who are easy to make peace with That's no big deal. There are no kudos for that. But living out shalom toward those who we view as nasty and difficult and a pain in the neck, or as they say in Northern Maine, a little lower down, toward those who are so different from us that we're sure they're from a different planet. Those whose lifestyle choices make us uncomfortable, whose language offends us, whose opinions scare us. Living out shalom toward those people, whoever those people are in your lives, that takes prayer. That takes trusting God and being confident that if they reject me, if they walk all over me, if they take advantage of me, if they laugh at me, if they swear at me, they don't like me, oh well. Welcome to the company of Jesus followers. Think of the story that we're celebrating this season. This mind-boggling thing that we refer to as the incarnation, this event where God and humanity came together in one man. For the purpose of Jesus living his life, walking in our shoes, understanding up close and personal what it's like to live in a messy, broken world, and then at the end of it all, dying a death of a criminal so that those who would follow him and put their trust in him, recognizing their need for a Savior, would find life now and forever. That is either true or it's the most ridiculous story that anybody has ever come up with. But again, I refer you back to the self-giving nature of our God. There is not one like him. Do you remember, those of you who've been with us for a few Sundays recently, Paul wrote to the Romans and he said these troubling words. I won't read them all, just a few. There's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. Paul, again, making a case for there's nobody that can measure up to the standard of the holiness of God. They've all turned away. They have together become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. And we're tempted to read those words and to think, well, I know people who aren't like that. I like to think I'm not like that. But the reality is, if our standard is humanity, then you're okay. Because you're a lot nicer than a lot of people. Well, but you're probably worse than a lot of people too. But the standard here is the righteousness and the holiness of God. That's Paul's comparison. And so before the holy standard of God, none of us gets a pass. And it's into this mess of humanity that Paul is describing that Jesus was born. And by the way, we read in the first chapter of Colossians that he is the creator of all things, everything made by him and for him. Paul says, in him everything holds together. The very breath that we take on a daily basis, it's a gift from the one who made us for himself. That one who created the universe that scientists tell us is still increasing and just becoming bigger than we can imagine. And more glorious and amazing. That one who created all that and sustains all that came in the form of a baby? Helpless? Pooping and crying? And needing changes? When he could have arrived in glory and power that made everyone bow in reverence and fear, he came as a helpless baby. And he didn't do this for good people. He did this for broken humanity because everyone falls into that category by the standard of God. But he came because in the heart of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there was a longing to see the flawed, the broken, the lost made beautiful and restored again. Ah! Great sacrifice that we celebrate when we think of the peace that is made possible in this season. We must understand the cost of shalom. If we're going to live this gift toward others and offer it to them, there is no shalom without sacrifice, and that began with Jesus. Being people who are seeking for peace, seeking to promote peace, seeking to live peace-filled lives by the grace and power of God in us will come at great cost. But it is great peace. Brothers and sisters, what we celebrate in this season is the greatest peace. As Lewis wrote, it's the only peace that ultimately matters. It is the undeserved gift, which is a bit redundant, but the emphasis is good. It's the undeserved gift of peace with God. So as we begin this Advent season, I want to just close by giving you a couple of moments of silence to prayerfully consider the truths that we have talked about, how God has made peace with Him possible for you through the life, death, resurrection of His Son. And where are you putting your faith and your hope in this Christmas season? Is it institutions? Is it in finances? Is it in military structures? All of those things necessary and a part of the broken world in which we live, but hope is found in Christ alone, and as a result of that, the peace of God then begins to flow into our lives. So I want to just give you a couple of quiet moments, listening, thinking, listening for the voice of the Spirit, speaking into your heart about where peacemaking might start for you the moment you walk out that door. Might be for someone who you're living at home with and it's like, "Arr!" It's that neighbor. It's that boss that you go back to tomorrow. It's that spouse that you live with. Where does the peace of God interact with your daily life so that God is seen in you and you begin to live into that identity as a child of God, a peacemaker? Peacemakers are those who live their lives peacefully with patience and love and kindness and grace toward others. Those who are in our lives and especially those that we wish sometimes were not in our lives. How would God have us, you and me, live with the truth that we proclaim this season? The gift of peace from God. His shalom to all of us. Let's just close and listen quietly for a moment. Gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as perhaps faces or names or situations or circumstances have come into our minds here in this quiet moment, we recognize that that's life. Life on this planet is fallen, and it's broken in so many, many ways, and yet we recognize too that Jesus came to bring us peace with God so that we might be people who then breathe and live and walk out peace into our world with these people and in these circumstances and events that we, some of us, have imagined this morning. Would you give us greater strength, greater confidence? May we be motivated by a God who loved this world so much in all of its brokenness that He was willing to sacrifice His precious Son to begin the process of putting things back together, which we celebrate in this Advent season as we look forward to the second Advent of Jesus when He will indeed set all things right. Thank you. In His name, amen.